6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcia to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feed to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! It's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a holiday Monday, a game day, game number 59, as the Anaheim Ducks come to town to face your Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights with a win over Montreal over the weekend, climbing to 39-15-4, 82 points on the ledger. Clayton Hamilton along with Frank Harnish today, Chris Chapman behind the board, our special guest, world champion poker player, friend of the show, season ticket holder, Vegas Golden Knights superfan Daniel Negreanu going to be with us today. So big day, big week, Frank. Still 3 games left on the homestand.
Yeah, 3 games left. Now some Pacific Division rivals coming into town with Anaheim starting it off tonight. But, of course, as Gerard Gallant told us earlier today, they don't really care about rivalries or East, West, this, that, or the other. Every game is an opportunity to win 2 points. And I kind of get the feeling that he means it when he says it.
He certainly does, and we want to welcome into the program right here in studio, Daniel Negreanu. Got to see the Golden Knights put on a pretty good show against Montreal over the weekend.
Absolutely. You know, and to echo what he was talking about with Gallant, this team has to wonder, like, what are we exactly playing for right now? Because the division appears to be mostly locked up. So this is a team that's in contention really for the President's Trophy, for first overall in the West. But outside of that, I wonder, you know, how much more difficult it is to get up for games. But it sounds like, as you said, Gallant just says every game is a chance to get 2 points, and that's what they keep doing.
All right, and they look at these division games. A lot of the guys in the locker room today talking about how it's, you know, it's a four-point game every time you get in these division rivalries, and they want to do well against the division. And oddly enough, though, it seems like we haven't played the division much yet, even though, you know, there's, 14 or 15 games in, so a lot of division games still left to play.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like we played Arizona a lot early on in the season, and then there's been it has been mixed around a little bit here and there. It also kind of seems strange that we saw Montreal for the first time in town in Philadelphia. So, but now we've basically seen everybody at T-Mobile. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, there'll be a lot more division games coming up here in the last month and a half of the season or so. Then we'll be getting ready for the playoffs, which I know the players don't want to talk about, but we certainly want to talk about it. But Daniel's absolutely right. I mean, this team is, what is their motivation? Is it the President's Trophy? Is it the best in the West? I really do think that they're just looking at it one game at a time, because as we've seen before, and as George McPhee certainly knows, winning a President's Trophy doesn't necessarily mean success in the playoffs. The goal right now, I would think, is to win every game that you can, but try to get as healthy and get all the chemistry there and get everything ready for the playoffs, because the playoffs is where it really counts.
It is where it counts, and an impressive display by the crowd over the weekend, and that's been the talk of all of the visiting players as they come in. Max Pacioretty, the leading scorer for the Montreal Canadiens, was certainly impressed with the team, impressed with the city. He in his post-game press conference, special thanks to Jason over at Sinbin, to our own Chris Chapman for getting this sound in this interview, but he talked about how much he enjoyed playing here.
Best road game I've ever played. It was unbelievable. Everything was top-notch. I mean, couldn't ask for better music, better atmosphere, better fans. It was just everyone around the league that I've talked to that's already played here said the same thing, and I kind of just said, oh yeah, that's great. But then when you experience it for yourself, I mean, that was it was a treat to play, and you know, I wish we played them more than once a year.
Did it almost feel like a playoff series? That's what we've heard, because of the, you know, the high percentage of visiting fans.
It did. I think I heard a couple guys say, myself included, like, imagine that place in the playoffs. It'd be crazy. I mean, they do such a good job with the entertainment on that game in this building. It was really a lot of fun, other than the result.
What does Vegas do really well? I mean,
they play really hard. I mean, I know their coach over there. I know how good of a coach and a human being he is, and it looks like they're just playing for him and just working every night. And they do have you know, that skill that maybe people didn't know in the summer. I mean, you know, the obvious ones, you know, Carlson and guys like that who you know, weren't getting a chance somewhere else. But On top of that skill, undercover skill that they do have, they're a team that's very well structured, and it definitely comes from their coach, because, you know, I had him here, and he's a hell of a coach and hell of a guy as well.
We hear a lot about their speed.
Yeah.
What do you think of Vegas' speed?
Yeah, they play fast. I mean, we play fast too, so it wasn't like a crazy difference from a lot of the games that we played. They're not like the traditional, I guess, heavy California Western teams that play a heavy, slower paced puck possession game. They play more like an East team, speed, transition, a lot of flips, blunt zone, stretching out the D, and that's how they get a lot of odd man rushes. They're really good at that.
That was Max Pacioretty, the leading scorer for the Montreal Canadiens, impressed not just with the building and the team, but seems to have quite an affection for head coach Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, and again, and we talked about it in the post game after the Montreal game, and we hear that from player after player. And Daniel, I know you're familiar with the story too. When he was let go from Florida, it wasn't just the Florida Panther players that were upset. It was the entire NHL. It was the entire hockey world, because Gerard Gallant is a player's coach. But he's also a team coach, too, because he does put winning and everything else. This guy was the runner-up for Coach of the year before, and then the way that they let him go and everything, it set an uproar throughout the entire league. And, you know, thanks, Florida, for doing what you did, because it's certainly been Vegas' gain. But this guy is a quality human being, and people love playing for him. And I don't know about you guys, but when I hear that thing, and I hear I love Vegas, and I love Coach Gerard Gallant, it seems like more and more we're getting players that – more and more people want to maybe come here down the road or something like that. That there's only so many positions on a team.
Yeah, no, I don't think we would ever have trouble convincing free agents that Vegas is a market you might want to play in. You mentioned because of Gerard Gallant, first and foremost. It sounded almost like Pacioretty's thinking, you know, hey, guys, I might be available at some point. Vegas wouldn't be such a bad fit for me. But no question, you see guys like Ovechkin come in and talk about the atmosphere being like a nightclub and really the fans just – and the playoff atmosphere each game that you come to. I think going forward, you know, the fact that we avoided, if you will, that first, second year, you know, expansion team slump, this could be a team that is a contender consistently over 10, 15 years, because players, when they have a choice, I think it's an easy sell for them to decide to come to Vegas for various reasons.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it seems to be getting that reputation around the NHL. And the success on the ice certainly doesn't hurt. There was a 6-3 victory. Lots of choices, Frank, to choose from when it comes to our play of the game and our player of the game. But our play of the game, brought to us by Best Mattress, is Tomáš Nosek. Best mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. Your play of the game, Tomáš Nosek.
Canadians just 8 wins in 27 road games. Howlett of the offensive zone feeds it in front. Score! Nosek! Tomáš Nosek with the third Vegas goal of the opening period.
Tomáš Nosek on a beautiful receipt of a pass from Erik Haula, Daniel, and that chased Antti Niemi to send him to the showers early.
No, absolutely. That was, you know, the fifth goal of the year for Nosek. He's been a little bit snake bit, could have like 8 or 9, I would say. But nice for him, since he's come back from the shoulder injury, he had that empty netter, and to pick up a goal here really, you know, bodes well for him. He's a hardworking player, you know. I have a Nosek jersey, as everyone should know by now. I'm like the number one in the fan club, because I just like the hard work that he brings every night to that fourth line, and, you know, applies pressure and does all the right things.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is when that goal, the only thing that bothered me about that goal, and nothing should bother me, I thought, wait, they might have chased Niemi too soon, because now Carey Price is going to be coming in. I would have maybe liked to see him stick around a little bit longer. But when you give up 3 goals on 6 shots, it's probably going to be an early hook for you. And, boy, Antti Niemi, I really don't understand how that guy is still in the NHL. It has to just be because so many goalies go down with injuries all the time. This is a guy that won a Stanley Cup. And he doesn't look anything like a goalie that you could think could win the cup in the AHL, let alone the NHL.
No. He's already been moved around several times this year, and everywhere he's gone, it's been the same story. Terrible. Like, you know, he's just not shown up. I'm shocked that he's even getting an opportunity still in the NHL right now.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned that he showed up a couple other places. How about the Pittsburgh fans when they said, oh, we're going to bring in Niemi to be the backup for Matt Murray, and they went, wait, this is why we don't have Marc-Andre Fleury now. This is our backup? Really?
Yeah, tough sled. And for those guys in Pittsburgh, everybody loves Marc-Andre Fleury. And another guy that beat Antti Niemi in this game was Riley Smith. He is your Brinkus Team Realty Player of the Game. 3 points for Riley Smith. Brinkus Team Realty, your home sold guaranteed. Player of the Game, Riley Smith.
Carlson wins the draw. Marchessault to tap it back. Nate Schmidt across. To Smith and it scores! Right off the faceoff, Riley Smith, 2:16 into the game. Off this faceoff, Derek Englund looking a wrist shot. Tipped and a save price. Rebound score!
And Riley Smith getting on the board, creeping ever so close to that 20-goal club along with his line mates, Jonathan Marchessault and William Karlsson.
Yeah, I was really hoping that he was going to be at the second hat trick in Vegas Golden Knights history this Saturday night, because it would have been the 20th goal for him, and what a great way it would have been to reach that 20-goal plateau and be the fifth player on this Vegas Golden Knights team. Vegas and Tampa Bay, the only two teams out there with four 20-goal scorers right now. But later on in the game, he said, you know what, I've got enough goals for tonight. Schmitty helped me out on with an assist early on, so I'm going to help him out later. But two goals and two assists, pretty easy choice for player of the game, although a lot of guys had a really good game Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, to think Riley Smith was essentially a throw-in. They're like, here, take Marchessault, and can you take Riley Smith too, because we don't really want him. And now, you know, in the early part of the season, we weren't sure where he fit in, but it's so clear now which the first line is, and the chemistry that he's had with Marchessault and Karlsson, they're the clear number one line right now, and he's really fit in well, and he's doing all the right things.
And it's interesting, too, because Coach Gerard Gallant, when asked if he had played them together down in Florida, he said, I really don't, not that much. I mean, it's not like they, you know, a lot of people just assume that they had chemistry already built up when they came here, and they didn't.
No, they really didn't. And when you think about those throw-ins, please, please, please take Riley Smith off our hands. And then Minnesota saying, please, please, just take Alex Tuch off of our hands. Like a couple of good throw-ins.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's the add-on things that that become the most viable piece. I remember, I know you like to cross over the sports, Clayton, so I remember being from Chicago when Philadelphia threw in a guy named Ryan Sandberg because they're like, well, just take this guy as a throw-in or something like that. Turned out to have a Hall of Fame career. Not saying that that's going to be Riley Smith or Alex Tuch or some of those guys, but I'm also not saying that it's out of the question of a possibility down the road either.
Yeah, those throw-ins. Good on you, George McPhee, and hopefully we're going to have him on later in the week to talk about all the things coming up with the trade deadline, and we'll see if Vegas is active. And that's the biggest question when you go around nationally, Daniel, and you listen to the Hockey Night in Canada, or you listen to our friends over the NHL Network. Everyone's abuzz with what's Vegas going to do. What is Vegas going to do?
Well, there's all this talk about big blockbuster deals like Erik Karlsson, but then you got to ask the question, like, what would you give up for Erik Karlsson? You have to give up a lot. And part of why I think this team works, and it's been the most consistent team in the league throughout the season without really facing any large losing streaks, is the fact that, you know, they have a team chemistry. Everyone gets to play. There is no superstar that is above the system. And I think you put put that in danger if you bring in, as great as Erik Karlsson is, unless we're getting him for free, I don't think that there should be much change to this team, other than maybe some tinkering on the third or fourth line now that we've had some injury trouble, possibly maybe something like a Mike Green to quarterback the power play. But outside of that, I can't see it being intelligent to make any moves. I said, we already essentially have a rental player if we keep James Neal.
Right.
So we didn't plan to, I can't imagine, at the beginning of the season, but by keeping him, that is who we traded for, if you will.
Yeah, and again, I agree with you, and if they're going to do some tinkering, it might be somebody that can win a crucial faceoff in a third period or in an overtime in the playoffs or something like that. Maybe somebody who does fill that role, that he can help you kill penalties or this, that, or other if somebody's injured or in the box themselves or whatever. But yeah, right now, and I know they say chemistry all the time, and some people go, oh, you can't. Well, no, you do have to worry about the chemistry. That's why this team is where they are and as good as they are. So if they bring somebody in, he's not only got to be a good hockey player, and Clayton, I know we talk about this all the time, he's also has to fit the mold of a Vegas Golden Knight that Foley and McPhee and Gallant and everybody else talked about. That's why a guy like Ryan Carpenter, when they brought him in, he worked, because he was that hardworking guy who didn't have the big ego and the big contract and everything else, and he has flourished in this system, like a William Karlsson, like other guys out there. So if you bring somebody in, I don't think it's going to be a big name splash. I think it's going to be a piece that they think could be that maybe missing piece to just tweak it a little bit, like you said.
Yeah, and when you look at the guys that have joined this roster that weren't here on opening night, Ryan Carpenter, he is that Gerard Gallant type of guy. Alex Tuch, Shea Theodore, guys that started in Chicago that have joined this roster, they are that George McPhee, that Gerard Gallant type of guy, and that's who you have to bring in. And when you think about players that are on this roster, a guy that you're going to bring that is maybe similar to a guy like a Cody Eakin, you're going to bring a guy that's a Cody Eakin type from another organization, a guy that a lot of fans are probably going to say, who is that? Or Russ to sort of learn something about the same way that we had to with Ryan Carpenter. I think if you're going to add to this organization, that's probably the way that they're going to do it. But they've got Anaheim coming to town. And Frank, as we know, Anaheim, a lot of big name players, high expectations this year. A lot of injuries have failed to live up to those expectations. They are our Vegas Golden Knight game preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. Tonight, the Ducks in town have had a pretty good success against them this season.
You know, we've talked about Anaheim a lot in the past and everything, and Anaheim is a very physical team. They like to lay the lumber to you, but I honestly think they overdo it. I think they injure themselves a lot of times, because when you deliver those kind of hits constantly, you take some of the punishment back, and I think that's one of the reasons why they do get some injuries. And the success they've had this year, in spite of their injuries, most of it from the games I've seen is because Gibson is playing out of his mind in goal. He has played a very solid game for them. If they get healthy, I still think they could be a dangerous team, but sometimes I don't know that they try to, that they play the game that actually best suits them. They're so entrenched in that we're the big bully on the block who overall we're going to beat you up in a game, and especially over a seven-game series. And it works in the playoffs sometimes for them. They might win a round. They might win two rounds or something. But eventually they wear themselves out, and then somebody else beats them, and I think it's to their detriment.
Yeah. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey, looking at tonight's matchup with the Anaheim Ducks. And Daniel, Frank's right, they tend to run out of steam late in games, and that's when you expect the big bodies to sort of overtake you. But it's almost like that defensive line that's been run at and run at and run at, and they have so many plays in them by the fourth quarter, right, that you start to get holes that weren't there at the beginning. It's the same way that you see it in a football game, you see it in this hockey team.
Yeah, well, you know, they've definitely, you know, played better over the last few weeks and put themselves in a playoff position. They've had a lot of injury trouble, as you mentioned. But overall, the way that they match up with Vegas, I don't think they match up well. You know, you look at the games that we did play against them. You can't really fade 40 shots a game. You know, as you said, Gibson's stealing some games for him. But how many can you really, really steal if you're allowing that? So they're looking for the big hit while we're looking for the big transition play, and we're looking to score goals, right? They're gonna have more hits than we do? Sure, great. But that doesn't actually count on the scoreboard. So that sort of style of team, the LA Kings, the big brooding, type style, maybe it's more effective in the playoffs. Maybe that's something to look at for Vegas, where we might tweak and add some toughness. But in terms of regular season game against Vegas, I don't think they match up very well at all.
And we saw it a little bit in the last game against Edmonton, because Edmonton's a physical team. And you think of Connor McDavid, and people don't think of that, but they're the most physical team in the NHL when it comes to just out-and-out hitting. But when you throw a hit sometimes and you do it just for the point of getting a hit on somebody, you can turn the puck over. You can make an odd man rush or something. And Vegas took advantage of that. And they took advantage against Anaheim earlier as well. When you hit for a purpose, like Braden McNabb when he came over, he was known as a guy who threw a lot of big hits. With Gerard Gallant and Vegas and the way that they're playing it, he now does it when it's calculated. Like Derek England, who's a veteran now. Everybody thought, oh, he's going to be dropping the gloves and he's going to be the tough guy on the team. He is a tough guy, but he's more intelligent about the way he does it now. Being physical is great when it serves a purpose, but when being physical actually puts your goalie out on an odd man rush or something like that, that doesn't help the team, and you might get a stupid 2-minute penalty to go along with it.
No question. Just when, you know, the puck's already gone the other way and you're worried about finishing a check behind the net and there's a 3-on-1 the other way, great, you got a stat that's a hit stat, but how does that help you on the scoreboard?
And we saw that against Edmonton, Ryan Carpenter's willingness to take a hit to move the puck, Cody Eakin as well, that several times in that game, odd man rush is created out of guys being willing to take a hit. And that's the underrated part of the toughness on this Vegas Golden Knights team.
The other thing about it, too, is when you know that a team plays that style, a lot of time you know these guys are going to try to finish their check, and you can sidestep them a little bit, and they might take the worst of it. They might hit the board and maybe just scrape you or something like that, and that's how they beat themselves up sometimes. They know these guys are going to do that kind of stuff, and the Vegas Golden Knights players know it. They've seen enough video on that. Yeah, you might technically get a hit in the stat sheet, but was it really a hit if you took the brunt of it and you're the one going back to the bench holding your arm or your shoulder or your knee or something?
Yeah, lots more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're going to hear from Eric Haula in a little bit. We're also going to give you some roster changes that happened today on the other side of the break. But right now, remember, listen to us every time the Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too. We've got a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers, and we're going to pair that with a couple of UNLV basketball tickets for the game against those hated folks from Reno. They're coming down on the Wednesday, the 28th. So we've got basketball tickets plus the MJ Christensen $50 card to give away right now. 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Caller number 8. You're getting the $50 gift card and those basketball tickets. So give us a call right now. When we come back, we're going to hear from Eric Haula. We're going to hear from other things around the league. Lots happening on the NHL today. The Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Right wing shot. They score! From the draw, it came out to the left point. Schmidt threw it across to the right wing side, and it's fired home. Riley Smith buries it. 1-0 Golden Knights. It's a power play goal. Taps left. Here's Hunt. Fires! He scores! Brad Hunt puts Vegas back on top, 2-1. Haula picks up the puck, tries to pull it to the left circle, beats the back door, score! Nosek! 3-1 Knights! Tomas Nosek delivers. Up top to Miller in the slot, pokes it in, shot, score! Loose puck came right to the slot, and there was Carpenter to axe it home. Derek Englund shooting, save, rebound, loose, score! It's another rebound goal for Vegas. 5-2 Knights. One played the body, the other played the puck. Now the feed behind the defense and a shot, clock stop! Oh, Furry! Denies Udon! What a save from Marc-Andre! Puck to the right side, score! From the top of the right circle, Nate Schmidt fired. Price got a piece, but not enough.
Special thanks to Dan Duva for the calls. 6 goals. The Golden Knights beat the Montreal Canadiens over the weekend. Busy week here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We're going to have Tomas Nosek tomorrow. We got Jamie Hirsch from NHL Network on Wednesday, so stick with us. But today we have Daniel Negreanu joining us, Vegas Golden Knights, a super fan, along with Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board. And fellas, we just got back from practice, and we heard there are some lineup changes and some things happening over the weekend. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare going on IR. We saw him go out early in the first period against Montreal. Stéphane Matteau and Tomas Hika both been called up. Head coach Gerard Gallant saying it'll be a game-time decision about who's in the lineup tonight. James Neal, a little bit under the weather. He is a game-time decision. Shea Theodore out with an illness.
Yeah, Theodore's still got the sore throat, apparently. And, you know, discretion the better part of valor right now. That you don't want to throw somebody in if he's not ready to go, or maybe if he could get something that could be contagious. We don't know exactly. They don't tell you anything. In hockey, there's upper and lower body injuries, and that's pretty much all they ever have. But, you know, the next man up mentality has worked up to this point here. I know we saw Hika in the preseason and some of the games that he played there. And, you know, hopefully he will do well and he'll be back. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Belmer, to me, that's a huge loss. I hope he's not out for very long, especially with Carrier out at the same time, because both of those are two of the kind of guys, they do so many different things that don't necessarily show up in the box score but are really, really super valuable players.
Yeah, my heart stopped when I saw that with Belmer, you know, going into the boards. I was concerned it was a head injury, but it looks like it's wrist related or something along those lines. But, you know, overall, I would say this team's been pretty lucky with injuries outside of goalies, where we seem to lose one a week for the first part of the season. But overall, then, this is what every NHL team has to deal with. And I think that the Golden Knights are, you know, exceptionally well suited for depth in this kind of situation. We have guys like Hika, you said, who probably won't even play tonight. But there's enough guys on the farm that can plug into a system, and they're not going to be expected to be, you know, the guys who carry the load offensively. And, you know, Gallant will plug in the right guys that play the Gallant system. And we've got enough spare parts. When we got Ryan Carpenter, it felt like, well, we don't really need him right now, do we? Well, you always do need extra players like that for, you know, just in case injuries do happen. And I agree with you, the Belmar injury is a bad one, because he's been so fantastic for the team all year.
And a guy like Stefan Matteau, let's not forget, he's a tough, gritty, Gerard Gallant, Ryan Carpenter-esque type of player, so he will fit in just fine. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens with James Neal tonight, whether or not he decides to go, if that, you know, that moves Tuck down to the second line, and then that would put Leipzig on the third, Matteau on the fourth, or whether James Neal decides to go, and maybe we'll see Leipzig and Lindbergh together with Eakin, and we'll move Tuck back to the fourth. But there's a lot of options for Gerard Gallant, so keep an eye out on warm-ups today, and we'll have to have some more information for you on the pregame show tonight at 6:30.
Yeah, and you kind of get the feeling that even if Vegas does know exactly what they're going to do right now, they don't have to tip their hands right now and let Anaheim know either, so why would you?
There's no reason to.
not at all. One of the guys, though, we do know and can confirm will be in the lineup tonight, and that is Erik Haula. And Frank Harnisch had the opportunity to sit down with him after practice and ask him why it's so special to be able to play here at T-Mobile Arena, and what is it about this building that breeds success?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously we've had a lot of success here, and we quickly got the fans into the game, and you know, it's been great. I don't know. It's hard to say. Obviously, you can tell that the people of Las Vegas really have been waiting for a sports franchise, and you know, for us to be able to, you know, play well in front of them and have the support that we've had from them. It just makes it a special place.
What's it like for you personally when you see things like Happy Holidays and people using plays on your name and that kind of stuff, wearing shirts all over the place?
It's really cool. Obviously, it's you kind of go back to when you were a little kid and seeing you know, your kind of guys you look up to or superstars in your mind, you know, you see that, and it's, you know, it's a good feeling.
Certainly this team isn't sneaking up on anybody anymore. People can't use the excuse of the Vegas flu or whatever. What do you think is the main reason why the Vegas Golden Knights have had the success that they've had so far? Is it just the chemistry, the talent playing for each other, or just a combination of a ton of different things?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, and we've done a good job of blocking all the outside stuff out and just focusing on our group and focusing on playing well. And we have a great goaltender, and that's number one. That's the backbone of our team, and we just keep playing hard.
When you just won the three games that you've played, the last three, but now you have some division rivals coming up with Anaheim, Calgary, Vancouver. Do those games become even more important because they're Pacific Division rivals, or are all of them equally important?
They're all equally important. You know, every point is important, but it's you know, it is a little bit different when you play against somebody in the division. You want to keep you know, pushing, you know, keeping the separation, and you know, you just want to play well against you know, teams you might see later on, you know, in the regular season.
I know nobody wants to talk about the playoffs, so we're not going to talk about that, but how good does it feel to know that with the win the last game, Vegas is the number one team in the entire NHL right now, this deep into the season?
Yeah, it's you know, you can ask me that if it ends up being like that after the season, but, you know, right now it doesn't mean anything. We just, you know, we're just trying to play our best hockey. I've talked about it. I've had my experience. You know, if you don't play well in the end of the season, it's know, it's not gonna be easy, and you know, you just want to be at your best when you head into the, you know, end of the year stretch.
What can the fans expect from the game against Anaheim tonight? Because they're a pretty physical team.
It's going to be a passionate game. You know, we've been able to win a couple games, and I'm sure that they, you know, they want to come in here and get the points and feel good. So, you know, it's going to be a good game, I bet.
That was Eric Howla, a guy that's going to be even more important should James Neal miss a couple of games with his illness.
Yeah, and I like how he said it's going to be a passionate game for the physicality that we can expect out there, too. And by the way, when I mentioned those three division rivals, that wasn't even counting the back-to-back against L.A. right after that. So a lot of Pacific Division rivals coming up here, but so far it's been so good against the Pacific.
And you have to be conscious about those games, because one bad week in the NHL can throw you from first to third in quite a hurry.
Yeah, that's the thing. Vegas is facing teams now where we have a nice little cushion. They're facing teams now that are hungry. Like, Anaheim needs these 2 points. They are in a dogfight for a playoff spot. And as we know in the NHL, just getting into the playoffs gives you a chance. So they're going to be fighting. And the great job Gallant does of keeping these guys interested, despite the fact that, really, in the bigger picture, this game doesn't mean as much to them as it does to Anaheim. But they still come out every night and perform.
Hey, by the way, we should throw it out there, too, that we will have some tickets to give away on the show today for the game coming up against Calgary.
Yes, that's right. That game on Wednesday, we will have tickets today for that. There is some other news around the NHL. Goaltender injuries on the rise this year. The New York Islanders have put Thomas Greiss on injured reserve, a lower body injury, have recalled Christopher Gibson from Bridgeport, and the Flyers also suffering goaltender issues as Michael Neuvirth did not return in the first period of their game on Sunday, and they had to go with their third-string goaltender, Alex Lyon, who has had to come in because Brian Elliott had surgery on his abdomen, so tough going in Philly.
Yeah, and Lyon is, he had a good game, and they gave him the Ric Flair robe after the game. He came in and made 25 saves to get that win, but hasn't exactly been lighting it up for this team. He was 0-2-0 coming into this one with a 4.24 goals against and an .844 save percentage. So right now, Philadelphia thinking this might not be the guy that we want to take on the rest of the season until we get our goalies back. And so there's talk of them looking at a couple teams out there, talking with Buffalo and supposedly in serious talks with Detroit about Peter Mrazek.
Well, you know, you talked about the Islanders and Philly, and I can't remember the last time they didn't have sort of a goalie situation. You know, mm-hmm. Philadelphia is a team on the rise, as are the Islanders. But as we know here in Vegas, it starts with the net. And they've got an unstable situation, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some movement for them at the trade deadline, because both of them, you know, slightly different places in terms of their development. Like, for the Islanders, how much do they need to get in the playoffs to keep Tavares? For Philly, they seem to be more of like, you know, committed to the long-term rebuild. But without a goalie, that makes it very, very difficult.
Columbus Blue Jackets forward Nick Foligno expected to miss 1 to 2 weeks because of a lower body injury. Cam Atkinson said it looked like a skate went right through his sock. That's what he told The Athletic. No other information has been given.
Yeah, and certainly not a good time for Columbus to get any kind of injuries, because they're struggling right now. And as good as this team is, and as well as they played last year and they started out this season with Bobrovsky and some of the other talent they have there, they could be outside the playoffs, because the Metropolitan, from top to bottom, there's like 10 points separating the entire division or something like that. They're all in the hunt, but very few of them are securely guaranteed a spot at this point right now.
I would say Columbus is one of the biggest surprises for me in terms of lack of production. They have had a lot of injuries, but their goal differential is a negative, and it's tough to make the playoffs when you just overall through season allow more goals than you score, and that's where they're at right now, sitting outside looking in.
We wondered what the Blackhawks were going to do. They have made a trade. Defenseman Michael Kempney was traded to the Washington Capitals for a conditional third-round pick in the 2018 draft. Chicago will receive the higher of Washington's third round picks, either Washington's own or the pick that Washington acquired from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised to see the Blackhawks doing some kind of moves right now. There's also talk about that they might be shopping Hartman around and some of the other guys. Obviously, Taze and Kane are going to stay there forever. They would love to have Corey Crawford come back healthy, but this is a team that's strapped up against the salary cap, and they are completely underperforming this year. It kind of seems like they've thrown in the towel. Quinville's thrown in the towel. The team has as well. We've seen that. They'll come out sometimes. Now, they just had a 7-1 win against Washington, but that's the anomaly, certainly not the norm for this team this season. They need to get rid of some salary cap space, so I don't think this will be the last move we'll see from the Blackhawks before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, Brent Seabrook sticks out. He's had a terrible season, but he's also got a really, really big cap hit. When Chicago came and made that swing to Arizona, losing in Arizona and then losing here in Vegas, it felt like that, you know, that was their opportunity to sort of get back into the playoff hunt, and they're not there anymore. So I would imagine they're shopping a guy like Seabrook. I just don't think there's going to be any takers considering the salary situation.
Yeah, he's got a huge salary. And Duncan Keith just got his first goal of the season, for crying out loud. Seabrook and Keith were two guys. They never were 20-goal scorers, but you could always get double digits and expect a lot of productivity out of them. They don't have that anymore, and I still truly believe that Nicklas Hjalmarsson going to Arizona was one of the biggest losses they had. No, he didn't light up the stat sheets, but he was a solid, solid defenseman, which they don't have anymore, and a lot of these guys are longer in the tooth, and they've lost a step or two.
Another team that we had our eye on to see whether or not they were going to make any moves was the Edmonton Oilers. And they haven't made any moves yet, but one guy who's clearly angry and upset with the situation, and that's manifested it into some of the gameplay, has been Cam Talbot. And, Frank, he was a little upset the past couple of days.
Well, yeah, when they played Arizona the other night, they lost 1-0. But the key to that was Edmonton got a goal late in the game, late in the third period. They thought it was the game-tying goal. They reviewed it and said goaltender interference. And Cam Talbot went absolutely ballistic when they lost that game 1-0.
There's just no consistency. Man, I'm sick of it. Sorry, I missed the start. You don't seem very happy about this. No, it's f***ing ridiculous. And you can say whatever. You can quote me. They can find me. I don't give a f*** anymore. The fact that every single goal is disallowed against us and every single call or every single time that we challenge, it's still upheld. I don't f***ing get it. They're the same f***ing plays every time. And for some reason, the call goes against us the past 2 years. We haven't won one challenge in the past 2 years. It's ridiculous. I just don't get it.
That was Cam Talbot, clearly displeased with the way that goaltender interference is being called.
Yes, and he had not one, not two, not three, but a five spot of F-bombs in that interview right there. So not often that you see it. But you know what? And I understand the frustration because, let's face it, everybody thought Edmonton was going to be better this year. A lot of people picked them to go to the Stanley Cup Finals and maybe even win the Stanley Cup. They give the big contracts to Connor McDavid, which doesn't kick until next year. They get Dreisaitl. He's in there as well. They've got Cam Talbot. They have a lot of talent there, and it is not working out whatsoever. And then the GM comes out and says, we're going to figure this all out together. So I guess that's good that everybody's job is secure, but should they be?
Well, you know, when Cam Talbot does that, I like the passion. He's totally open to being fined, and he likely will be for those comments. Mm-hmm. But he does make a point. You know, the goalie interference, like, we watch, we're fans, and sometimes you look and you're like, it doesn't look like one, and seems very, very inconsistent. And that is something that they have to look at in the offseason. Gary Bettman during the All-Star break talked about it at length and said, you know, this sort of review is supposed to be, unless you find something egregious right away, otherwise leave it as a call as it was on the ice. But you can fully understand Talbot. As you said, Edmonton was supposed to be a division leader and a contender, and they've got first pick after first pick, and they just continue to seem to fail to put it all together.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because when you see that, and I think we have seen that since Gary Bettman did that at the All-Star break. I've seen a lot of the challenges. They look them over quicker. They're not trying to find something. If they don't see it right away, they do stick with the call on the ice. But Talbot there saying that Edmonton hasn't won a challenge in the last 2 years, that might be a stretch. But again, I haven't watched every Edmonton game. Maybe they do feel like they're kind of getting the short end of the stick there. Certainly Cam Talbot does, but I agree with you. I love the passion and the fire. I'd rather have a goalie come out and do something like that than just shrug his shoulders and go, well, you know, I'm going back to my nice car and my nice house and my nice big paycheck or something like that. I want a guy who's passionate and doesn't like to lose. So good on you, Cam Talbot. I mean, good for you. But yeah, now, how big will the fine be?
Yeah, how big will it be? And sometimes the NHL doesn't get things right, but sometimes they do. And in a tough situation, I felt like the NHL has handled this as well as they could possibly handle a situation of this nature. Devontae Smith-Pelly of Washington had some fans chanting negative or racially charged things at him in the game at Chicago, skating, telling him to play basketball. What is he doing out here on the ice? It's a really unfortunate situation for the fans of Chicago, for the organization in Chicago, the NHL as a whole. The NHL did step up and condemn what these fans have said. They kicked them out. They're trying to get them their season tickets revoked and have these folks not be allowed in NHL arenas. But it's a tough situation for the Capitals and for Devontae Smith-Pelly, who addressed those comments to the media.
It's disgusting. I don't even really know. It's sad. I mean, that 2018, we're still talking about the same thing over and over. It's sad that, you know, athletes like myself 30, 40 years ago were standing in the same spot saying the same thing. You'd think there'd be some sort of change or progression, but we're still working towards it, I guess, and we're going to keep working towards it.
So bad situation, especially in a year and in a time when we've just spent so much recognition of guys like Willie O'Ree and their contributions to hockey, and to have something like this is pretty bad.
Well, and for it to happen, and not that there's ever a good time for it, it's Black History Month, it's Hockey is for Everyone Month, and this kind of stuff, they've got to put an end to it. Wayne Simmons came out and said that he believes that the people that did this should be banned from every NHL arena for life, forever. And I completely agree with them. I had season tickets to the Blackhawks games back in the early 80s. And when Tony Maccagni would skate down the ice, some of the stuff they said there, I was embarrassed to be at a Blackhawk game. It was a different time, but it still was unacceptable. But now it's absolutely absurd that people are still doing this. And it should be pointed out, too. I mean, it was a one-word thing. They were saying basketball, but they were chanting it over and over again, and people know exactly what that meant. There's no room for it. These people have no right to have season tickets. Somebody else that respects the game and the players should get them, and these people should be expelled from the United Center and from every other NHL arena on the planet, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I think the silver lining, and you mentioned Wayne Simmons, who said, you know, he's not surprised. I think the silver lining is really how Gary Bettman and the league stepped in and very forcefully let everyone know, like, because there's only, you can't control what each fan says, but you can control what reaction you have to that. And the very stern, aggressive, you guys are not welcome here, is a sign, especially during, like you said, the February is like Hockey is for Everyone Month. The statement was perfectly well suited. The support for Devontae Smith-Pelly is obvious and clear in the NHL. You're only talking about 30 players that are black in the NHL right now-ish in that neighborhood. And it's important to bring light to it and handle it exactly the way that they did, but there was no place for it in the game at all.
No, there's no place for it, and a lot of times when you see organizations trying to protect themselves from reality, it's sort of a statement that's going to try to please everybody. There's no pleasing the folks that said these things, and you shouldn't have to try and placate them. And I thought it was a really nice step by Gary Bettman.
And by the way, idiots, Dustin Byfuglien, Johnny Oduya, and other guys helped you win those three Stanley Cups you had, okay? So why don't you just get a clue and get the hell out of the United Center? You don't belong there.
Well, we're going to give away some tickets to some fans that are coming for the hockey. And that is on Wednesday night. If you would like the tickets to the Golden Knights and the Calgary Flames, give us a call, 702-876-1340. 702-876-1340. Caller number 21, you are going to the game on Wednesday. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some team bonding off the ice happening in New Jersey right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Daniel, who won those tickets. We're going to have some more tickets all this week for the rest of the homestand. And Frank, I hear that they're doing some team bonding in New Jersey on the Turnpike.
Well, you know, the Devils are one of the most the nice feel-good stories about this season, and like we carpool together over for the Golden Knights games. Well, there's a lobby of a Jersey City apartment building that serves as a meeting place for Nico Hischier, Jesper Pratt, Pavel Zacha, and Blake Coleman because, well, a couple of the guys don't even have their New Jersey's driver's license because they're only 19. So they all meet up together, and then they carpool over to the Devils games. They carpool to practices. Sometimes they get together and have meals and that as well. So they said that the bonding has actually helped them progress as a team this year. Actually, they say three of the four are generally there. Nico's always at least 5 minutes late.
Yeah, and you got to carpool in New Jersey because the tolls will kill you if you do it all by yourself. even on that rookie contract.
So, yeah, so, but yeah, I guess when you're 19 years old and you don't have a driver's license, you have to have a ride there as well. But
true.
So, but the carpooling has helped them bond like it has helped us this year bond a little bit.
That's right. You can't take the Euro scooter through New Jersey in the winter.
Not with four people on it.
That's for sure. Well, stick around with us. We'll have a pregame show for you, 6:30, puck drop, 7 o'clock as Anaheim comes to town. Stay tuned, though. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next. Thanks, Daniel. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us.
It was a blast, guys. You guys carpool for real? You
too? We do, yeah.
In the same car?
Same car.